This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. A lot of people are making decisions right now about what they can and can't afford in this pandemic economy. Decisions both practical and personal, whether or not to have a child being one of them. There is some research out from the Brookings Institution showing we might wind up with a lot fewer kids next year, 300,000 to 500,000 fewer. Which, given that we are, 9 months into this thing and biology being what it is, that might start becoming evident pretty soon. Melissa Carney is a professor of economics at the University of Maryland, also a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a co-author of the report. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me how you got to these numbers of fewer births.
Sure. So what we did was we looked back at what happened to birth rates after the Great Recession. There's a link of about a 1 percentage point increase in the unemployment rate leads to about a 1% reduction in the birth rate. And then we also looked back at what happened during the Spanish flu. And what's really interesting to think about is back then, people didn't even have access to modern contraceptive technology, right. Nor did the Spanish flu lead to a recession. So that was really just a public health crisis, but it led to a sizable reduction in births. And so based on what we see in the data from those two previous periods, we predict that there's going to be something like an 8 to 10% drop in births on account of this current pandemic.
Which is, in raw terms, as I said in the introduction, 300,000 to 500,000-ish fewer births next year. What does that mean? Not in the next year, right? Because, yes, having kids are expensive and it's an economic thing. But when those children who aren't going to be around would have turned 18, it becomes a labor force issue.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the big questions is how many of these missing births are going to be delayed versus never happen? And the longer this pandemic goes on and the more permanent the income losses are, then the more likely it is that these births are just never going to happen. And so you combine this large bust with the steadily declining rates of births we have in the country before the pandemic, and you start to worry about what's going to happen with a shrinking workforce and fewer workers to not only contribute to the country's productivity, but to support our social insurance programs.
Right. It's the whole fewer workers already paying into Social Security thing, right?
That's right.
Right. Is there, I mean, look, we need people in this economy to be the labor force. So one could imagine a policymaker looking at this and saying, this is going to be an issue. If they call you on the phone and say, Professor Carney, what ought we do about this? What ought they do about this?
If this was just going to be a one-year reduction and then births rebounded, I would be less worried about the demographic implications for the country. But given that fertility rates have already been steadily declining, you know, this points to the need for what are called pronatalist policies, things that make it easier for couples to have and support children, things like childcare provision or subsidies, things like paid leave, induce some people to have more kids.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. This is an intensely personal decision that you and economists writ large, right, try to put sort of a quantifiable lens on. That's a tough circle to square sometimes.
Yes. Yes. When you talk to non-social scientists, they're often like, wait, falling in love, having a baby, isn't that right about some other stuff? But, you know, having kids is one of the largest economic decisions people make in their lifetime. And when people see their incomes increase or decrease in unanticipated ways, they have more or fewer kids in response.
Right.
So there is lots of evidence to support this idea that this is in part an economic decision.
Melissa Carney is a professor of economics at the University of Maryland, also at Brookings as well. Professor Carney, thanks for your time, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.